Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Good to be back.
I'm glad it's good to be back. We are back, and hopefully
yeah, after
than
our
ever.
Super heavy topic last week.
Yeah. Goodness.
With discussing lying. I'm going to tell you a little thing. Mm-hmm. So I came through. So, of course, this week, normally I would be in the office on Monday, but I was under the weather, and so I ended up not coming in the office. But
yeah.
So when I came back into the office, of course, everybody's like, yeah, okay, sure. Give me a little wink. I'm like, how messed up would it be if
I told, now tell the truth now.
I was telling somebody, I was like, look, we just did a podcast and it aired and it's a discussion on lying. Yeah. How bad would it be if mm-hmm. we did that? And then the following Monday,
yeah.
I'm like, I can't come in. Sick.
Yeah. We hopefully practice what we preach here. That's the goal anyway.
Hey, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not, but hopefully I can be better than
the
that.
The things that we talk about on the show are definitely a part of our own sanctification.
Yeah,
journeys.
And we're talking to ourselves.
Yes.
We're not pointing our fingers at everybody else. Just we're talking we're talking about stuff that we're still learning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to go for a lighter topic, not so heavy, today's news topic.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, I hope it's a lighter topic.
Well, we don't always know. We let our good friend Chris Woodward mm-hmm. with American Family News come in, and he brings the stories that he compiles that he thinks mm-hmm. Works for our audience. And so sometimes he'll have some stuff in there, and we don't know what it's going to be. So we'll let him lead off.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'll begin with breaking news. Not all of these are light topics.
Oh, okay. Well, big surprise there.
It's what you do when you work in the news department. You're the professor of doom and gloom.
Oh, goodness. Somebody's got to do it.
Yes. We'll begin with this one, though, because I'm sure most people are well aware of this. But in the event you don't know what I'm talking about, we had a big, primaries take place in the last few days on what is commonly referred to as Super Tuesday. About 15 or 16 states and a couple of territories. Voters go to the polls there to pick their candidate for their party's presidential nomination. Joe Biden survived a few attacks, or challenges, I should say, from a couple of Democrats, even uncommitted and no preference, to win in a few states. Donald Trump won most, if not, well, he won most of the Republican ones, and I'm talking about like Colorado, Texas, Arkansas, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts. Nikki Haley, who, by the way, made history earlier this year when she became the first Republican woman to win a primary.
Wow.
She also won the Vermont primary. So before she suspended her race or her campaign, she did win a couple of states against Donald Trump, but she has since dropped out. So now it's looking like it's Trump v. Biden again, which if you follow Facebook, you'll see people having fun with this, posting memes like, you know, it's grumpier old men again, that kind of thing, which is a reference to a movie from the 90s featuring a couple of actors that have since gone home to be with the Lord, we hope.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess same old, you know, emphasis on the old there.
2020 part two.
Great.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's all I really have to say about that is like, wow. I guess we know kind of what to expect, maybe.
Yes.
We've already seen this race.
I've seen this movie. Yeah.
These particular candidates are not new to us. Mm-hmm. We know their moves. We know what they stand for or what they should be standing for unless they've switched.
Yeah.
So if you are wanting some information though on how to vote, I highly suggest you check out the iVoter Guide. Mm-hmm. It gives you information on all candidates for whatever races that are going on. So you can check out the iVoter Guide.
Yeah.
And you know, make an informative decision.
Yeah.
On who to vote for, but with this one, I don't think there's going to be any surprises.
Exactly.
No. If it was a movie, it would be the kind that would go straight to video versus to the theater because it's just one of those storylines. But in all seriousness, and I've mentioned this before when we've talked about midterm elections and gubernatorial elections, things like that, we need to be in prayer for this election because we need to be in prayer for not only our current leaders that they make wise decisions and be in good health, but also that God would give us the leader that we need or the leaders that we need. Scripture does tell us to pray for those in power. I think we should also pray for those seeking public office.
Right.
And that would be something we should all encourage one another to do. But also, I don't know if you guys have watched the news at any point during the Biden administration, but people don't really get along. And there's a lot of crime in our area, not just by people that are here illegally, but also citizens of these United States. They're harming one another. They're saying nasty things to one another. They're emailing people that we all know and maybe work with to air their two cents about things. And I think it would be good if we, as the body of Christ, actually prayed for civility and for peace throughout this process, because election years are very nasty, and they do tend to bring out the worst in people that are in a lost and dying world.
Yes, exactly.
And there's no, like, on this call to pray, there's no disclaimer, like, only if it's for the candidate you want. No, it's for both sides, whether you agree with them or not. And that doesn't mean you're praying. I mean, and you can pray a way, like, hey, I want this person to win, and pray the Lord will bring in the office. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can absolutely pray that, but also pray for the other side.
Yeah.
And pray for the ones that maybe you disagree with, the ones that you don't think are following a Christian pattern, and pray for them and pray that the Lord will open their eyes.
I will say that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, the early church, and said not only to pray for, but to also obey the governing authorities, the guy who was the governing authority at the time was Emperor Nero. And I don't think that it's too much of a stretch to say that Emperor Nero is worse than we've ever experienced in our lifetime, if not the entire history of our country.
I think lot of people, like, when you hear Emperor Nero, you think immediately, I go to the fact that he used Christians to, he doused them and set them on fire for torches.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, that's...
And this is the guy that Paul wrote to the early church and said, pray for him, you know, and the other authorities, and also seek the peace of the country that you're living in. Like, that's important. And so are we going to join the big old fist fight, you know, of modern politics in a very literal sense? I'm guessing that's what we're talking about now. Or are we going to be, you know, doing our civic duty, standing up for what's right, and praying and seeking the peace no matter what the outcome is? I feel like that's such a challenge these days, and I feel like that's what we're called to do as the church.
Yeah, we can't ourselves just change hearts and minds, but we can make sure that we're where we should be in our walk to be that person to stand up and say, hey, you know, this is not right. I think we should kind of tap the brakes a little bit here on whatever the issue may be.
And I think if right now you're sitting there and your hands are poised on the keyboard and you got the Facebook up and you're on somebody's post and you've got that comment, and just, that comment just brewing, I want you to just stop, put the brakes on, step away from the keyboard, and think about what you're doing. And think about, actually, you know, I did I think we talked about this before, I did a devotion last week, because we all here at AFA take turns doing devotion in the morning, and mine was on who you represent. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, then you represent Christ, and that's including when you make posts or comments on social media, or if you make your video, you know, talking about somebody online. It doesn't matter what that who that person is or what they've done. You still are supposed to represent Christ in your answer. So even if you have negative comments to say about them, there is a way to do that.
You want to sound like a Christian, not just a conservative.
Well, I do have some good news. It's not often I do get to bring in good news. So this just in. Good news. There was a pastor in the last couple of days. His name is Dia Moodley. He lives in the UK. He's a street preacher there, and he won a lengthy legal battle against the police in the United Kingdom, who told him that he couldn't comment on other religions and share scriptures with people there on the street. And this is kind of crazy, because the UK, for those that are not aware, is where we got great Christian thought leaders, you know, I mean, like Spurgeon, the Wesley brothers, a lot of famous people had ties to the UK, and now it's kind of fallen apart thanks to Darwinism and other things that have run rampant there in the last couple of centuries. But good news here for this Christian street preacher. He was represented by a couple of groups, including Alliance Defending Freedom International, ADF being the same group that has represented Christian bakers and artists here in the U.S. At the Supreme Court. So ADF has a very successful record, and they got this man to get his right to restored. Basically, he wasn't doing anything confrontational. He was kind of standing there. He had a little chalkboard inviting people to come up and ask him questions under the condition that he could turn around and ask them questions.
Sure.
Every once in a while, large crowds gathered. If he determined it was getting a little too rowdy, he would stop. But eventually, police intervened and said, hey, this is too much. You can't do this. To which he lawyered up, and they went to court, and he won. So that's good news. The reason I bring this up is sometimes we hear about things in other countries and we think, well, that doesn't impact me. Mm. Or maybe the pastor is not in your denomination. Mm. But cases, losses, and victories will impact the people that your church supports. And, you know, Scripture does tell us that we're all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, you know, a win or a loss involving somebody abroad can and does impact you and your church somehow, some way, given the people that you do support.
You know, you have these moments, and he's not, obviously, he's not harassing people.
Right.
He's giving people a chance to come talk. Mm. And they make the decision themselves to come up and speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, when it, certain topics, things can get heated. But I think this is like the appropriate way to do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you should pull back and completely quit street preaching. Because there's some people who are not going to come into your church building.
Right.
And you may never get a chance to run into them. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, as long as he's not going out and grabbing people.
Right.
And actually harassing them.
Right.
He's presenting the gospel. Yeah.
To my knowledge, there's no forced conversion here where he's saying you must be this or else.
Yeah.
One of those things. He's literally trying to share scripture with
people. I think you can force someone to look converted, but you can't actually force
someone
to.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You can't. there are times people talk about you force them to be a Christian. I'm like, I don't, if they were forced and they don't actually believe, then they're not actually a Christian.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But that is good, and I like hearing those stories, and especially Alliance Defending Freedom. What a great organization. I'm very thankful that they're there to fight these kinds of fight, especially internationally, too. I think here in America, we tend to be – we're very much concerned with what's going on with our borders, and maybe – I mean, that should be a priority that we have. But again, that doesn't really apply very well to, like you were saying, the church – capital C, because that is a global thing. Mm-hmm. And we have brothers and sisters all over the place, be it in England or Somalia or, you know, Japan, who are going through things that we don't really have a context for. This instance sounds a little more familiar to us because these kinds of things happen, even here in America. And so I'm just glad that organizations like this exist, and we do need to remember not just to pay attention to the laws and stuff that are happening in our own country, but, you know, pay attention to what's going on globally, especially when it comes to Christians being able to practice their religion.
Yeah, and if you want to be able to find a place to keep up with some of these stories, I highly encourage you to go to AFN.net, where you'll see articles from people like Chris and the others on our news team here, AFN.net, and there you'll find stories going up every single day. All day long, stories are going up to keep you informed on what's happening. And if, you know, they're on social media as well. So if you go there, you can find them on Facebook and other places so that you can, you know, just know what's going on.
Yeah. Speaking of rights, there was a story, this has been around for a few days now, but I'm more or less bringing it in because it kind of resulted in, I think, a positive. There was a lady on MSNBC several days ago who, and in some sort of panel discussion, her name is Heidi Prisbola, if I said her name correctly. She's a reporter at Politico. She was part of a panel discussion on MSNBC, one of those roundtable things where the host brings on a bunch of people who are so-called experts in whatever field they're in to do a kind of a Q&A there on live television. And the issue of so-called Christian nationalism came up, and the Politico reporter brought up the fact that there's a whole bunch of people out there who you know, call themselves Christians, and they believe that their rights come from God. And she went on to basically say that if you believe that, you're part of Christian nationalism.
Interesting.
Now, most people, thankfully, were aware of our founding documents, like the Declaration of Independence, which point out that our rights were given to us by God. They're not given to us by government. And I bring this up because a lot of people in the age of Twitter and knee-jerk responses on Facebook, didn't just, you know, say ugly things to her, but they pointed out to a large number of people what our founding fathers said and what they believed about where our rights come from. And I think that's a positive response because there are a lot of people out there, specifically younger people in America, who are led to believe that rights do come from government because they get their news from their phone or whatever it is that they're listening to in the form of a podcast. History has kind of gotten by the wayside in America today, and a lot of people are not necessarily up to speed on where they should be. But thankfully, a lot of people kind of made her and other folks aware of where exactly our rights do come from, which is something that's been around for a long time, even before the Founding Fathers.
Yeah, and I would say, man, that's if you're going to talk about something central to Western civilization, for America, like it's this notion. And I think, too, pointing out that the Founding Fathers weren't just saying in this country of America, you know, we get our rights from God. They're making a general statement about human rights, no matter where you are. So pointing this out as something that's nationalistic, I think, was where really she's missing the mark. Is because this is not a nationalistic statement. Right. This is a statement about humanity in general. The Founding Fathers were saying, we're pulling out from this system because they aren't respecting our basic human rights that come from God.
Right.
And so that's a statement about anybody, no matter where you are. But that's a very important thing. Even if you don't believe in God, how scary is it? I mean, that would be a scary thing in and of itself. But how scary would it be, just from a political sense, to think that your human rights come from the government? Like, that's, you're setting yourself up that for some real danger there.
Yes.
That's the thing. That gives the government the power. And the government, as you know, does not handle power.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
And that's
not,
I'm not just talking about the U.S. government. I'm talking about governments in general.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the reason why there are things in place that help. Like, in the U.S., not in all countries, in the U.S., there are things in place that are supposed to keep, keep us free.
Yeah.
Have us with our rights. Mm-hmm. And so the government can't take that, at least not easily.
I mean, you see this in other countries, too. I mean, even England, you know, has a system in place where they have the people representing different locations around their country to the government. So they have a representative parliamentary system. Kind of similar to our own. So you see that even in other countries, especially countries that were influenced in their founding by Christianity in one regard or another, you see this system in place where it's like, hey, we realize that although authority does belong to people, does belong to humans, that ultimately rights, you know, what a human can do and what a human is worth is not defined by someone else. It's defined by God. And so if somebody, even if somebody doesn't believe in God, surely they should believe that their rights come from something that's not, that is objective, and it has something to do with them being human and not because somebody who has the army decided, hey, we're allowing you to do this thing. Like, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, that was, that was one of the arguments from like 2020.
Yeah.
When churches were being told, hey, you got to shut down, people couldn't sing, all these kinds of things that are part of our religious worship practice. The first couple of months, maybe you can write off and think, well, we didn't really know what we were facing.
Sure.
But the sticking point with a lot of people, and this is where a lot of legal cases came from, is you get into like the fall of 2020, the spring of 2021, and you still had people in places being told you can't do this while you were allowed to go to Walmart or a liquor store or an adult entertainment venue or something like that, but you couldn't gather in large numbers at the church next door. That's where it became a problem, and that's where people like John MacArthur, pastor out in L.A., went to court saying, hey, you know, I mean, God tells me to lead people in worship. We're going to do that.
Right.
And that resulted, of course, in a lot of people saying, well, the Bible does tell us to obey. But the same Bible also quotes, like Peter is saying, we must obey God rather than man.
Yeah.
So that that's a discussion that we need to continue having, mm-hmm. Instead of just parsing one verse and then applying that to everything in life.
Yes.
You know, we need to have that well-rounded discussion, or share that with people when they go on television and they say crazy things like "your rights don't come from God."
Yeah, I mean, and that's an important question to ask, and an important conversation to continue having, because once you stop having that conversation, the government will step in and decide mm-hmm. for itself where rights come from, and it's just all downhill from there, really. Yeah. Quickly.
One other positive story, and this impacts me because it involves something in my hometown in Northeast Mississippi. A lot of people are going to be in a small town in Northeast Mississippi, not far from where we're sitting, called Amory, Mississippi. It's going to be in the next few days. 8 Days of Hope is there for a return trip to try to help people with extensive long-term repairs. Amory, Mississippi, like Rolling Fork, Mississippi, and some other places last year, just got hammered by a tornado or tornadoes back during the spring of 2023. 8 Days of Hope was one of those groups that responded quickly to help people with debris removal, quick fixes, stuff like that, so they could keep living in their home if they had a home still after the tornado. A lot of people had a lot of damage. It's been that way for a long time. It's very sad. If you have not driven through there, there's still people with damage and tarps on the roofs and stuff like that. The good news is our brothers and sisters at 8 Days of Hope are going to be in the Amory area over spring break to help people with, again, long-term repairs and extensive stuff that still needs to be done a year after the storms. And I bring that up because for a couple of reasons. Steve Tiber at 8 Days of Hope was on AFA at the Core a few weeks ago to talk about how people from like 30-some-odd states had signed up to volunteer. They have since closed volunteering because they're about to show up in Amory. So as you're listening to this, don't think, well, I can still sign up. That period has ended. But be mindful of what you can do for somebody else the next time there is a storm, because your spring break might be in late March or April. You might be able to do something over summer vacation or something like that in June, July, or August. And there are things that we could do maybe as a Sunday school group, as a church, maybe even a group from your workplace if you work at a ministry like we do, where you can show up and you can help people with their situations, because everybody goes through something. And it's your opportunity in Christ to help that person through that situation.
And if you would like to go with 8 Days of Hope to help in a situation, the next time you hear of some disaster in the United States coming through, you know, tornado, flood, whatever it may be, hurricane, start paying attention to 8 Days of Hope and what they're doing, because they'll start putting up signing up so you can join them and helping clean up and stuff. So they always have those opportunities, because they're on the ground almost immediately with the initial cleanup. And then, like, you know, you said, they're coming back to go in and do some more extensive repairs for the people in Amory. So, but if you're listening, and you didn't get a chance to sign up this time, obviously it's probably too late, but it's not too late to start praying. Pray for the ones going and working. And also, I'm just going to go and throw a big thank you out there. Our AFR audience, like, they hear of an opportunity to serve, and they are there. And, you know, I couldn't be more grateful for the audience we have, and they'll sign up quickly. So be praying for them, be praying for Steve Tiber and for all the ones that are going to be on the ground this next week, because they're taking their spring break. I mean, this is when people are going on vacation, and they've opted to take their spring break to go again to be in Amory, Mississippi. Helping build and fix homes.
Well, and I will tell you too, as somebody that's from Amory, we couldn't recall something on this level as having happened before. The tornado just demolished parts of town. There was a really bad storm that broke in or came into town the night I graduated high school. We were graduating outside on the football field, as many schools do, and this huge storm rolls in, and we all had to, like, run for our lives as rain came down. The people in the stands were trying to come down the metal bleachers. My diploma still has, like, water spots on it the teacher that gathered up a bunch of diplomas as we all booked it toward the library when we ran for cover. The reason I'm sharing this is because don't ever take your hometown for granted. I never thought something like this would happen. When I was a kid and the man came on the television or the woman and said, hey, there's a tornado warning for your area, seek cover. More often than not, we never had damage.
You go outside and look at it.
Eventually, it becomes like
out on the porch and
it's the Southern man thing to do. Let me
get the popcorn, go watch it.
But like, you know, the reason I bring it up is because sometimes it can become a boy cries wolf situation. And in this particular situation in Amory, it came in at a very late hour. People were not expecting it. Some people might have thought, well, they say that all the time. Eventually, or it might be your town next. So do listen to the people on the television when they tell you to seek cover. And if your neighbor has damage or your hometown has damage, if the people the county over from you have damage, that's your opportunity to go share the gospel with them, love on them, and help them with their situation, because it could very well be you and them helping you in that hour of need.
Well, and two, 8 days of hope, what a witness. I mean, because I've heard so many testimonies from people who have been helped by 8 days of hope, and how the people who volunteer and help are just, you know, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God to people who potentially never have stepped foot in a church. And so when now these people think of Christians, they think of the people who came to help when everything was looking hopeless. And that's really what the face of the church should look like to the world. I know that it's a mess right now because you have so many people out there misrepresenting Christ. But it's up to us as true believers and followers of Jesus to accurately represent him to the world.
And if you would like to help, I'm just going to say one more thing. There are several different jobs that you'll be able to do. They even have like serving food, things like that. If you really think, I don't know if I could do the things that they're doing, they're not just going to turn you loose randomly with a hammer and like go build a wall. So they'll work with you and they'll find a place for you. So that's something to consider if you want to join.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on with us and filling us in. Some good news to brighten us up a little bit mixed in there as well. So thank you for that. Always a pleasure having you on. And guys, remember to always share truth and apply scripture. And stay tuned for next week when we'll come back with another episode. Hopefully that will edify you and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. Thank you.